turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I have thoroughly enjoyed a good service already this morning. It's a blessing in my heart to get singing and just to see the good number that we have in service this morning. So we've had a good Sunday school lesson, and I'm thankful that I've been here. It's been my privilege just to be able to experience it. Luke 24. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. What I understand, that's about 6.8 miles. So they're walking about 6.8 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded of them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. We're going to cease reading with these verses. And I want us to try to set the scene here this morning that you have these two men that they are walking and they are discussing the news of the day. And he mentioned about how those women that went out to the tomb were in their own company. And so they are very aware of the things that are going on around them, although they don't understand it. They are aware, even though they do not understand it. And so they are trying to make sense of Jesus. They are reasoning Jesus, what could have taken place? And I believe just about like any men that, you know, are talking about things that they don't have all the facts and they're not getting the whole picture, they're making their best guess. They're guessing. You know, well, what happened? Could it been somebody took that body? What, you know, did those... Notice how it's almost like that game where you tell a secret in somebody's ear and you pass it down the line. It's already got to a point where when they're telling Jesus about it, they said, these women say they have seen a vision of some angels. Not that they saw angels. They saw a vision. They didn't really see no angels. Maybe they had a vision or something. So Jesus says, what things? They're reasoning. He walks up to them and he says, what are you talking about? And they say, don't you know these things? Well, what things? What things are you talking about? And they answer him. They say, we trusted that Jesus might have been the man that would redeem Israel. We thought he was the man. We thought he was the man. We thought he was going to be the one that would finally bring the Jews out of Roman, under the Roman rule. We thought he was going to be the man that might establish the throne of David again. We thought he was our hope. We saw him doing great things. He did things that nobody else could do. He was a prophet, mighty in deeds unto God. We saw that with our own eyes. We know that he was a great man, and we thought he might have been the one. We thought so. We hoped he would be the one that would bring us out from under that old Roman rule. And then they go on, they say, not only that, it's the third day. And we was just in a company of women, and these women come back from the sepulcher. They went early this morning, and they come back from the sepulcher, and they said that they saw a vision of angels. Said he rose from the dead. That's what they're saying. But then we had other men went out, and they saw that it was empty, but they didn't see Jesus. They didn't see him. And so there's so much doubt, even though they are discussing the right topic. You can be discussing the right topic and still doubt what you're discussing. You can sit in church and hear the right things and still doubt what you're hearing. And that's exactly what's taking place. They're discussing news of Jesus without faith in Jesus. I believe there's a lot of that going on in the world today. There's a lot of talk about Jesus, but there's very few people trusting him. There's a lot of people preaching Jesus without really standing up and living for Jesus. There's just a lot of news going on. I hear people that don't know much about God at all, and you hear them coming from all different angles talking about we're in the end times. If we really believe we're in the end times, it seems like we would be busy doing the work of God. Amen. With all of our heart, that would mean more to us than anything else, but it seems like that's about the last thing on our list many times. We've got other things that's so important. You know, from entertainment to work to vacate to whatever. And these are the things that are important. And yet, there's a lot of talk. A lot of news about Jesus. I believe this. I believe their eyes were blinded because of unbelief. And the reason I believe that is because Jesus rebuked them because of unbelief. He didn't rebuke them simply because there was some scales on their eyes. He rebuked them and they could not see because they did not believe. They had heard the prophets. They had heard Jesus, no doubt. They had heard that he would rise the third day. They heard these things, but they just could not believe it. Remember Thomas that would make a statement later, even though all the apostles had testified they saw the Lord, he said, I will not believe it until I put my fingers in those nail holes. He could have believed if he wanted to, but because he didn't believe, he was blinded. They're blinded, and they even rebuked by the Lord because they do not believe. And so as he expounded the scripture to them, their hearts began to burn. And I want to just highlight that just a minute. Their hearts began to burn. Something was happening inside of them that they could not deny. They had this yearning, this burning that was going on inside of their own hearts while Jesus was expounding the scripture to them. God's word has great power. It has great power. It has power to burn us in our heart, to convict us in our heart, to open our eyes to things. And as he's expounding the scripture, the word begins to convict them. They begin to crave more of his teaching. I love how the Bible said, he made as though he would go on. his plan was not really to go on, but he made like he would. And there we see a craving that, no, we don't want you to go. We want you to come in and abide with us and continue to tell us and to preach these verses in Scripture to us. And so they begin to crave more of his teaching. I love it when you see that in a church, that all of a sudden people begin to crave the Word of God. And that's what you see here. They're craving it. And finally, they believe this is Jesus. Well, they do. No doubt their eyes are opened. They understand this is the Lord. Now, this morning, news of the day has caused many people to doubt. We've always talked about a falling away of God's people. I believe we're seeing some of that. We're seeing perilous times. No doubt we're witnessing some of that. Things that we're looking at and saying, my goodness, things are getting so dangerous all of a sudden. And the news of the day, rather than drawing us to the Lord, if we're not careful, we'll be like these men. We'll be blinded to what's going on. And the reason we'll be blinded is because we don't trust the Scriptures. We trust what everybody else is talking about. We trust what the news is saying, what the buzz is, and even, you know, people's best guess about Jesus. And rather than let the Holy Spirit lead our heart and settle us, what does God's Word say? We'll start gathering our own opinions, our own ideas. People are living today just like they did in the days of Noah. Guess what? Jesus said when he returns, that's the way it's going to be. You know, just going about our own business, doing our own thing, not really caring about the things of God. People today are scoffing at the truth. I've never seen people so bold to oppose the truth like they do today. We see it all over the world. People doubting his coming. You talk about the rapture, and there's almost a doubt that seems like falls over people. We've heard this all our life. Man, can't you preach something different? You got to be something different. I mean, we've heard about Jesus coming back all our life. We fulfill the Scriptures when we say it. Well, that's how we believe that we're fulfilling Scripture, that the Lord's coming back when everybody starts doing that. But that's where we are. And yet, there's endless questions now and endless reasonings. Everybody's just reasoning things to death without really coming to a good conclusion and a good scriptural base for why we believe what we believe. Just a lot of questions. Jesus is being discussed without faith. And that's sad whenever we come to that place, that we discuss Jesus like casual conversation, just like we're talking about the weather. We discuss him without faith, very much faith at all. I want to ask you a question this morning. This is the burden of my heart. When was the last time the truth opened your eyes and you really saw Jesus? When's the last time you had one of those reach out and touch the hem of his garment type of moments in your life? And I'm not talking about something just emotional, and yet at the same time, I believe whenever we really see Jesus, that it gets us. At the very least, we become more zealous. When's the last time you had a moment like that? For some people, they probably go back to the time they got saved. I remember when I got saved, that was a moment like that. Has there been a time in your life where you just heard a good message and it provoked you to draw nigh to the Lord? Or maybe you read in your Bible and all of a sudden the Lord opens your eyes and you trust what God is saying, and all of a sudden it changes the course of your life. When's the last time the truth opened your eyes and you really saw the Lord and you had a craving for more of him? These men saw Jesus. It moved them. How much did it move them? Let's go back and look at verse 29 again. It says, but they constrained him. They constrained Jesus, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now, after they see Jesus, they know who he is. They're motivated. Look at verse 33. And they rose up the same hour. What hour? Well, it was toward evening. Then they went in and they had a meal. And now verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, 6.8 miles, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So it was evening in verse 29, and then they find their place that they're going to abide, and they go in and they have a meal together, and the Lord has, you know, prayer with them, and he's expounded the scriptures to them. And now in verse 33, the same hour, they decide, let's get up and let's go back where we just come from. They had a place of abide for the night. The day is far spent. The day's over with. It's time to go to bed. The day is far spent. And yet when their hearts were stirred, it was not too late to go back and tell others about Jesus. At one point, whenever they're not close to the Lord and their eyes are not open and they just don't really have faith in anything, they're just discussing the news and maybe they're sad. Jesus points out they're very sad about what's going on. That it's just time to go get into bed. It's time to call this a day. But when God opens their eyes and their faith is strong and they realize what's going on, it's not too late now to go tell somebody about Jesus. They get up and they go back so that they can tell others about Jesus. The day is far spent, but it's not too far gone. I believe I can say that about us. We may be in the very end times of the end times. I don't know. But it's not too late to tell somebody about Jesus. It's not too late for us to get motivated that the Lord has done something good for us. It's not too late to get motivated to go tell somebody that they might be saved. So they had a burden that could not wait until the morning, an urgent message. Jesus is among us, and they made this 6.8 mile journey in the dark, no doubt, so that they could go shine their light for others. But they didn't have a flashlight when they was making that trip back. I don't know if they carried a torch or what, but maybe they had a lamp. They decided, it's not too late. Let's go back and tell them. Turn over to John 21, if you will. See, when we get to listen to the news of the day, we get to listen to everybody's opinions about what's going on, everybody's opinions about Jesus. And I said opinions now. I'm not talking about the truth led of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about just everybody's ideas about things. What we'll do is we'll start getting down and out in my head. It probably is about the end times. The Lord might just be coming back. Really, what can we do? I tell you what, if the Lord was coming back in an hour, that means we got 59 minutes to go tell somebody about the Lord. And I think that's the way we need to look at this thing. You know, oh my goodness, look at how our country is changing. So what? Let it change if it has to. And I say that very humbly. I don't want to see it change. I'm about like anybody else. I get set in certain ways and I don't like change. But things are changing whether we like it or not. What can we do? I'll tell you what we can do. If we get motivated and really see Jesus for who he is, it'll move us to go tell others. Want to change this whole world? Jesus will. I don't know anything else that'll change the world like Jesus. And so we need to be motivated. John 21 verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the son of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. You know why he said that? Because Jesus was not with them. I go a-fishing. What else can you do? If the Lord's not with you, there's not a lot we can do. And I'll tell you this, when Jesus was not with them, they couldn't even fish. Even though they were fishermen, they couldn't catch anything. You know, the Lord can show us the same thing. You may like to fish. If the Lord wants you doing something else, he'll show you can't even catch fish without him. And so, Lord can open my eyes. And so Simon Peter, he says, I go fishing. They said to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Whenever we're following after the Lord, he can bless what we're doing. So I said, I don't have enough time in the day to stop and really seek the Lord. I believe this, we don't have time not to. You may work all day and not get anything accomplished. If the Lord blesses your day, you might get done in 1 hour what it take you 24 to get done. And so, verse 7, it says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. At the recognition of Jesus, Peter was moved to action. Without the Lord, I don't know how naked. I've heard people try to describe how naked he was. The Bible said he was naked. I'm going to just leave it at that. Now, whether he had on a pair of shorts or whatever the case, I don't know. I've heard people try to put some clothes on him. It says he was naked, and so I'm going to just leave it that he was naked, and you do with it whatever you think. Oh, I do believe this. Sometimes the Lord talks about nakedness being, you know, maybe more clothed than what we call nakedness. And so whenever the Lord showed up and he recognized this is the Lord, it moved him. He was kind of relaxed and taking it easy and just probably enjoying a bad fishing trip, and you can do that. But it makes it a lot better when you catch him. But he jumps up. Let me cover up my nakedness. Let me run to him. The words of the Lord moved him. I want to ask you this as I try to come to a close this morning. How can hearts that burn be so extinguished so easily in our day and time? If you noticed your own self, and maybe it's just me, maybe I'm preaching to myself this morning, but it seems like almost be on fire 1 minute and then be extinguished the next minute, and it not seem to bother us very much. I don't know if we write that off being lukewarm or what, but it seems like that you see that an awful lot. Have revival, and effects of revival might not last past getting out the door on Friday night. And you think, man, we're having a good week, but what happened to it? Did it move us? Did it really do anything? Our eyes open? Do we now see the Lord? Seems like that we are slow to hear. Often we are even slower to move. Often, I say often because not every time. There's still plenty of people that are serving the Lord very faithfully. But Often we are no longer tender in heart. There's people that speak about how I just feel hard-hearted. I say people speak about that. There's a moment not too long ago I felt kind of hard-hearted. Just almost like I'd let myself get cold and indifferent. And that's a shame. That's something I need to repent of. So I can't help how I feel. God can help you to feel differently. He can. The Lord can move. When you see Jesus, He'll move you. He will. And see what we can do if we're not careful. We can blame it on the day in which we live. We can look and just any old excuse is enough to keep us blinded. While we talk about Jesus, we are blinded in our walk with Jesus. If that makes sense. I put it to you this way, how many times you heard this? We can walk the walk, but can we talk the talk? While we're doing a lot of talking, are we doing the walking? That heart burns for a reason. The Lord takes His word and He convicts our heart for a reason. Jesus is our head. Here at Clear Branch, Jesus is our head. You know what that means? We come together, the Lord is with us. He's in the midst. He's the head. He's the one who calls the shots. Jesus is in our midst, so we should be great men and women of faith because He's right here with us. What? If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? We should be ready to turn the world upside down for Christ. Now, after the fact, Jesus has already left their presence. The Lord, this is the Lord. He just, poof, He's gone. I don't know if He went up a cloud of smoke or just disappeared or faded out slowly, but He was gone. After the fact, Jesus has left their presence. Oh yeah, did not our heart burn within us while He was expounding the Scriptures to us? Oh yeah. Now that you mention it, I can go back and I remember when my heart was burning while He was preaching the Word to us. It was having an effect, but I was ignoring it. Did not our hearts burn at His words? Well, if we go on to read here, Jesus tells Peter what He does. He calls Peter's love into question. Think about that. A man that walked with the Lord, and what I think of is the Lord's right-hand man. That's how I refer to Peter. His right-hand man, and yet Jesus calls his love into question. And He asked him three times because Peter still was not paying attention. All right. In John 14 and verse 15, I'm going to tell you what the Lord does. He calls your love into question. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He called my love into question. If you love me, keep my commandments. What's the commandments? Everything hinges on two things. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. To love your neighbor as yourself. Everything in Scripture hinges on that. Are we obeying those two commandments? I tell you what, if the way I love myself, I didn't want to see Brad O'Neill go to hell. That was a desperate situation. And I didn't want anything to get in my way. Do I love my neighbor like that? If our love for God is being called into question by how we respond to the Word, then I believe we can say the love of many has waxed cold in our day and time. I want to exhort you this morning. Love Jesus. Trust Jesus. Respond to Jesus. Let Him move you. Be tenderhearted toward his teaching and then fierce in faith. If your heart burns, don't wait until it's too late to move. It's not too late right now to trust. If you're lost, it's not too late for you to trust Jesus. And if you know the Lord, it's not too late for you to tell somebody about Jesus. The day is far spent. But we still have a little time. Let's do something with it. We ask for something.